the Freedom Fiends! Broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West. In the occupied states of America, I am Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster. On the other end of the inner tubes, we have the laughing kitty, Ms. Diana Kyler. How are you doing, Diana?
Meow.
Meow. Hey, DJ's awake, and she was meowing in the background, too. Because I ordered something on Amazon, and then it didn't work when I got it, so I returned it and ordered something else on Amazon. So I had like some Amazon credit, so she's shopping. She's awake because she's shopping.
Good for her.
Retail
shop
therapy.
Away, DJ.
And good evening, WSRQ in Sarasota, Florida. Actually, good morning. It's 1 a.m. there. We are welcoming a new station or four. WSRQ in Sarasota, Florida. And they have some, that's 1220 a.m. And they've also got... let's see, W255CC 98.9 FM in Sarasota and W29BH 106.9 FM in Sarasota. So we are just melting the Sarasota metropolitan area with truth and weirdness late in the night here.
And liberty.
And liberty.
We're tasing you with liberty.
We are tasing you with liberty, and liberty's pretty good. And I usually open the... I'm wrong a lot. I'll say that right now. But
no,
sometimes other people are wrong. And so I've been opening shows lately with, here's the mistakes I made in the last show. And, you know, people might say, well, you must make a lot of mistakes. But you know what? Everybody makes a lot of mistakes, and at least I admit them. And I think that's a good lesson to have.
Yes.
Yeah.
What were your mistakes?
Let me actually.
I'm dying to hear.
Let me actually read this thing that that I sent to a fellow co-host because they wanted to know something about like, can I have a beer on the air? And I'm like, no, that's actually an FCC violation. Well, it is. It's an FCC violation to be drunk on the air. I don't know about having a beer or not, but you know. And I told him basically that I think it harkens back to, and the same thing with other substances. You know, you don't want to be intoxicated on the air. And I've been sober for 20 years, so. It's not a problem with me. I'm just naturally weird. And you're naturally weird, too. You've been sober for about 20-some years, huh?
Yes, I am naturally quite weird. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of people say that they would be very fearful if they actually ever saw me drunk.
Yeah, you don't want to see
me like,
drunk.
And I'm like, you would be right to be fearful.
Yeah, when people offer to buy me a beer, I say, well, yeah, but you'll have to buy the next 42. The next 42 beers you'll have to buy. So... yeah, and I told him basically that the FCC rule of that you can't drink on air harkens back to the pre-internet days when radio was the only way to disseminate information to the masses quickly. And, you know, they were worried about somebody getting drunk on the air and ranting and giving out misinformation. And that rule still exists, even though these days basically the business model – of talk radio is ranting and saying misinformation on the air.
so that's very true.
I didn't do anything wrong, but I guess one of our co-hosts went off on a rant. And he's a guy I have great respect for. I'm not going to say which one it was. We have 12 co-hosts. We're actually, I think we have 14 now. I think we're starting another one soon. And we have Nick, who's 15 and 16 and gets school credit for occasionally being a third wheel on this show. But
that's awesome.
It is. So what happened was one of our most coherent and always about the facts co-hosts, like a guy who just can tell you about the Neapolitanic wars and just, you know, everything like the name,
sounds like ice cream,
the name of the left edge on the sword, you know, at the pass at Thermopylae. I mean, he knows and like, you know, what button size, you know, Stalin war at Yalta or something. I mean, this guy knows history like nobody's business. Mm-hmm. And so I just trust him to talk. Like when he's on, I'm kind of the guest, even though I'm the host of the show. I'm kind of the guest when that guy's on because he's so solid. And the other day, he just like talked for about a half an hour about stuff that made no sense to me and no sense to anybody else. And I didn't cut him off because I was like, this guy knows his stuff. I can't argue with it. But at some point he started talking about Ebola, and he started talking about polio, and he started talking about meningitis, and saying that polio has not been wiped out in America. It's just been rebranded by the government, and it's called meningitis now. And I was like, wait, what? And on the air, I was trying to Google it and look it up, and I realized it would take too much research to do live. We don't have a crack research team. So I basically just said, hey, you know, during a break, I was like, let's come back from this and just change the subject and just talk about history. And he did that, and he did a solid job for the rest of the show. This show is different from most talk radio shows, because most talk radio has never met a conspiracy it doesn't like. And this show, we basically, our rule is like, there's so much out there that governments do that they admit as mission statements that we can tear apart verbally, that I'm not even going to touch, you know, the nuttier stuff. And I'm not saying the nuttier stuff isn't true. I mean, the government does want you dead or in a cage, running on a hamster wheel, working 28 hours a day, paying 120% income tax. I believe that there's a lot of politicians who, at least if they don't want that now, that's the end game. I mean, the end game of adding government is North Korea, and we're headed there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, you know, I will not engage in 9/11 truth or stuff. I will not engage in birth certificate stuff about Obama. I will not engage in who shot Kennedy. I will not engage in, you know, AIDS isn't caused by HIV. I won't engage in is global warming human caused, because I don't know the answers for any of those things. And I don't buy the government line on all those things, but I certainly don't buy lunatics who stew in their basement in their libertarian juices, showing me a blurry picture with red arrows drawn on it and saying that's proof. And basically what this co-host did was in that realm, and it is not acceptable on the Freedom Fiends. And I talked to him about it. He said, absolutely, I'm learning from you. I'll keep that up. You know, I won't do it again on the show. But I wanted to say that is not what the Freedom Fiends is about. We are not the, you know, we're on late at night when all the crazy people are up, which is cool, but we are not the type of show that is going to engage in that kind of stuff. We'll tell you straight up that taxation is theft and no one has a right to rule you, and all politicians lie. Those are facts, but I'm not going to engage in any of that other stuff. And that particular idea that polio was not cured in America, they just changed the name to meningitis, is it's out there as a conspiracy. But first of all, it's kind of weird because polio is a disease. Meningitis is a symptom. It can be caused by any number of things. Secondly, every conspiracy theory that you can name. Okay, let's pick one of the weirder ones. The crazy idea.
Chemtrails.
Okay. Yeah. Governments have sprayed horrible things on people before, but when people say, you could tell that's a chemtrail because it's dispersing differently, it's like, no, that's just a wind pattern, man. I'm not saying the government isn't spraying things on people, but I will say most people who believe they have absolute proof and show me pictures or video or say things just make me want to walk away laughing.
Yeah.
But
there's enough stuff out in the open that we are well aware of that the government is not ashamed to hide from us that's worth talking about.
But here, I'll say this. Of the main things that are considered conspiracy theories now, like chemtrails, 9/11 was planned. What are the other ones? Oh, there's no human-caused global climate change. Those are three of the big ones. Most experts do not believe those things. But that just reinforces conspiracy theorists. They say, well, yeah, they're all on the government payroll, or they're all being forced, or they're believing the lie, or they need to go after their funding, which are all viable answers of why someone would chase a certain answer instead of really doing science. But even one of the weirdest, probably most dangerous one, the idea, there's a theory that HIV does not cause AIDS, that AIDS is not caused by the HIV virus.
Yeah. That's pretty prevalent in a lot of countries in Africa, actually.
Yeah, that theory in America, like Spin Magazine, actually a girl I used to kind of date did a whole bunch of series on that being true. The thing is, there are a couple doctors, a couple experts that actually believe that. There are a bunch of experts that believe that 9/11, you know, that the buildings wouldn't have fallen that way without explosives. There are a few reputable scientists who believe that climate change is not caused by humans. There are a few reputable scientists who say chemtrails are being sprayed on us constantly. Those are the government is trying to poison us or control us. Those are okay. But you know what? The idea that polio was just renamed as meningitis, there's not a single scientist or doctor who believes that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where does that come? Where does it come from then?
It comes from that Freedom Fiends co-host last week.
Oh.
No,
oh.
I'm kidding. It's actually a thing, but you know, you Google it and it's like the only thing that come up are like really out there websites. So
right.
It's such a weird conspiracy theory that there aren't even a couple reputable doctors like there are with the AIDS conspiracy theory. Like that is one of the least supported, probably not true things saying that HIV does not cause AIDS. But there are a couple doctors who believe that, but there are no doctors and no scientists that believe that polio was just rebranded. So I apologize to our Fiends listeners that something slipped through and I just stood there and let it happen. It was kind of embarrassing to me and it won't happen again. And we have a new possible co-host coming on tomorrow night. And I was like, what do you want to talk about? You got any ideas? And she was like, all of the hype surrounding Ebola. And I'm like, nope, we're not talking about that. We're the only radio show that's not talking about Ebola.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about it a few times, but really more in passing, right?
Yeah. And we've also made fun of it with the term Ebola.
Ebola.
But we were actually saying Ebola 2 weeks before the Ebola news came out.
I know
out.
You were.
We call the Freedom Fiends, our show, we call it Ebola. It's an infection in your brain worm that helps you out.
So really the conspiracy now is that the Fiends actually started this epidemic of Ebola because of Ebola.
No, man. No. Don't even say that. So
sorry.
Someone might tune in and hear just that part.
No.
Yeah.
Only
we're,
kidding.
We're all about truth, man. And all talk radio says it's all about truth. But part of us being all about truth is not touching things we don't know about, you know?
That's right.
There's enough to talk about that we know about. We'll be back with some of that after
this
trip.
Yeah, there's enough of that junk.
To the market.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Fiends. We are talking about the blood of 1,000 pumpkins.
Yeah.
Keene, New Hampshire had some riots this week, and our good friends, yeah. Ian Freeman, Mark Edge from Free Talk Live, kind of our sister show, our big brother show, helped us get on radio, live and work in Keene. Derek J. Freeman, who is one of the Freedom Fiends co-hosts, lives and works in Keene. And so we had Ian was out filming it. He had a lot of eyewitness stuff, and his stuff has gone viral. His videos of it have gone viral all over the world. I mean, his stuff has gotten reblogged by the LA Times, the New York Times, Al Jazeera, the UK Guardian. I think he's up to like 50,000 views or something on it right now in one day since he put it up. I want to talk about the bigger issue. You know, you were like, you know, people are like, well, what are the details? What's the damage? Blah, 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 et cetera. I want to talk more about why the youths of today have a riot over nothing and why the police were so horrible. Here's the thing. The police in this situation, like, let's pretend for a moment that let's put on our minarchist hat and pretend there should be public police paid for by taxes. There's video of these cops shooting pepper balls up onto a porch where people were drinking beer on private property, not doing anything illegal. And there is video of cops in Keene tackling a guy who's walking down the street trying to get home in broad daylight, not doing anything wrong. So
that's so weird.
There's video proof of the cops doing horrible stuff. And there's also video of the cops standing around twiddling their thumbs while there's a bottle riot going on. People throwing hundreds of bottles at each other and at bystanders. So the cops are doing the wrong thing with innocent people and doing the wrong thing with guilty people. You know, I mean, people who are endangering that video that Ian shot. I noticed something about that that I haven't heard anyone mention. There's a scene in there where he pans over to the house on the right and shows the kids throwing the bottles and breaking the pulling out a stop sign and breaking
it. Yeah, I saw that.
Which happened a bunch around town. Mm-hmm. In a town of 25,000 kids, 25,000 people, small, small town. A lot of the people were from out of town, from supposedly Amherst College in near Boston and a couple other colleges down there. Somebody is throwing or shooting something flammable at one of those houses, like bottle rockets or throwing flaming toilet paper or something. In California, which is one of the hardest states to shoot somebody in self-defense and get off, you know, not go to prison for defending your life, it's actually legal. There's only two states. In Texas, you can shoot people at night to protect property. In California, you can, in some situations, shoot somebody who's trying to burn down a building. I mean, think about that. Somebody is shooting in that video, in this melee of people throwing bottles at each other. Somebody is throwing something flammable more than once at a house. That is incredibly aggressive and horrible and irresponsible.
Yeah, and for what reason?
Oh, because it was a party, you know? I mean, a lot of people are looking at this like, oh, boys will be boys. They were just throwing bottles at each other and they were consenting, you know, it was like a baseball game. No, they were hitting bystanders in the head with bottles. They're sending people to the hospital.
One person supposedly died.
Okay, we don't know that. And I'm not going to spread rumors on the radio. When there's proof of that, don't say, this is a teaching hospital moment. Don't say somebody supposedly died. Because that's how rumors get started. I will say that I was listening to the Keene, New Hampshire police scanner, which Ian Freeman streams for people to be able to hear. The cops are not happy about it, but it's legal. He does it. I think it's legal, and he does it. As soon as I heard, I heard a cop say, that individual is dead. Or no, that individual is DOA. You heard that, right, DJ?
Yeah.
And then, you're not DJ. I'm Why, Diana, why did you say yes?
Yes.
I heard a cop say that individual is DOA, and they said send a tow truck to get the car. I don't know what that was about, but yeah, the cops were being horrible to people that weren't doing anything, and they were doing nothing to people who were being horrible. So when cops say, without us, there'd be violence in the streets. Okay, with them, there is apparently violence in the streets, and they were not willing to do the minimum that that they say is their job. They say, you know, without us, you have to pay your taxes, because without us, you know, who would protect you from violence? They were just twiddling their thumbs watching violence happen.
It makes no sense at all.
And then they were doing violence elsewhere when there was no reason for it. They brought in a lot of out-of-town cops, too. It was a big cluster party.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. When I needed a robust and secure home business computer network for my radio show, I hired QPG.us. QPG.us did a great job with a complex custom setup and did it remotely over the internet. Whether you have one computer or 1,000, QPG.us can set up your small business network, no matter where in the world you live, fast and at a reasonable price. QPG.us is a liberty-loving company that can also help you with networking, domain name registration, DNS, email, SSL, VPNs, and more. That's QPG.us.
Meow enough.
What's wrong with today's utes? Yeah, they need to do some meow therapy, I think.
Meow therapy.
See, I don't really think today's utes are any different than yesterday's utes. I think a lot of the utes have always been horrible, and I blame the government.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were some riots in Keene, New Hampshire this week, and they made international news. Part of the reason they made international news. First of all, the crowd was entirely white, like 99.5% white. With that falling on the heels of the Ferguson riots, basically the question is, why didn't they attack these kids? It's racial discrimination. That may be true. Cops do tend to shoot and beat up black people more than white people. Mm-hmm. But I think they've gotten kind of equal opportunity more to where they're beating everybody up and shooting everybody's dogs and kicking in everybody's doors. And that's not a result of Obama only. That's been going on for a while. But the thing is, Keene, New Hampshire kind of has mini riots every year around Pumpkin Fest, which is the other reason this made international news, because it seems so ironic. And there's a big misnomer. The riots did not happen at Pumpkin Fest. People come into town for the day of Pumpkin Fest, or the day before and the day after and the day of.
Yeah, it's a huge deal.
It's a party. It's a college party, and partying in the streets, drinking in the streets, yelling, throwing stuff. That happens there every year, but not to the extent that it happened this year.
Yeah.
And there was a lot more filming of it than, every year there's more people with more cameras and more live streaming and more connectivity. And it just gets easier to be a witness of everything on the spot. I mean, think about the Rodney King thing was news, because back then it was that was filmed with Rodney King getting beat up by the cops was filmed with a high 8 videotape camera, which was they were kind of expensive and not that many people had them. Mm-hmm. Almost everybody has a high def camera in their pocket now.
Right.
The Rodney King beating on film just proved something that, black people have been saying for decades and white people didn't believe. And finally they saw it and I guess that does happen. Okay. But, there was no political motivation to the riots in Keene. And it was also it was not at Pumpkin Fest. Pumpkin Fest was a peaceful event this year, other than the fact that there were government snipers on the roof this year and last year, which is kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But it had nothing to do with – it wasn't at Pumpkin Fest. It was near Pumpkin Fest. And Pumpkin Fest was just the excuse for the kids to come into town. And, I'm sure there were some people from Keene doing it, too, some college students from Keene doing it, too. And the police and the school say they're going to review the videos and expel people and arrest people, which is kind of ironic to a lot of people that Ian Freeman's video may end up being used evidence for the police to arrest people. But I don't think it's ironic, because Ian's not against people being punished for violence and property crime. He's against people like us. He's against people being punished only for things where there's no victim, smoking pot or having your hedge 4 inches too tall or having a silencer on your gun or no silencer on your car, as Boston Tea Party says. So the thing about, what's wrong with today's utes? I'm 50. I'm 50. I'm at the age where I'm saying, what's wrong? Where people are usually saying, what's wrong with today's utes? But I remember when I was 20, not going to college, but living in Charlottesville, Virginia, and UVA in Charlottesville had something called Hell Week. Can I say that on the air? They had something called Hell Week every week, which was very similar to,
not every week, every year.
Every year, thank you. To the drunken, destruction of property they even had a name for it that sounded like let's destroy some property. So
right.
It's nothing new, man, but it made the news.
Right. And well, for a school like UVA, I don't know about Hell Week, but I know that a lot of larger schools that have sports teams, sports ball teams.
Sports ball. I like sports ball.
Teams. Yeah. Often you see these, you know, you see big riots when their team loses or wins or for any excuse whatsoever in that respect. But this situation in Keene seemed to stem from really nothing. And other than just kind of.
Yeah, I blame entitled East Coast, you can be a winner, you can be whatever you want to be, public schooling mentality.
Yeah, that makes sense. And when you first talked about Ferguson, you know, what a contrast there, because the people, I don't know that. I mean, they called them riots, but weren't they for the most part peaceful?
Yeah, the police
demonstrations in Ferguson.
No, there were some people set fire to a convenience store.
Right, right. Yeah, I do remember that part.
And the cops just stood there and let it happen. There's footage of that happening, of cops in riot gear who could have stopped it, just standing there and letting it happen.
Yeah, but then they turned around and shot, you know, rubber bullets at.
Oh yeah, they were horrible.
At peaceful protesters.
They were
horrible.
Whereas
in Keene, there was no apparent reason for the riot to start, and people are destroying, you know, private and public property right in front of the cops, and they're not really doing anything. Yeah. So it's crazy.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
And, you know, I don't just want to blame East Coasters for this, but I do blame the entitlement mentality that is instilled in people a lot these days in the public schools, in the government schools, in the government kindergartens, grade schools, middle schools, high schools, state colleges, and the kind of parenting. I don't think you should hit kids. I actually don't believe. Oh, they spared the rod and they spoiled the child. Mm-hmm. I think you can, you know, deal with kids without hitting them. But
yeah, there are natural consequences to your actions that you can actually experience and sometimes suffer from that will teach you. But I think a lot of parents don't even allow their kids to suffer these natural consequences of their actions.
Yeah.
You know, they shield them from them.
You have an adult kid. Did she turn out all right?
She turned out great and I didn't spank her.
Cool.
Yeah,
what'd you do?
I let her deal with consequences of her actions and her behavior. And
what does that mean? Explain now. What's that look like?
Well, you know, like if she, you know, if say she did something in school that she wasn't supposed to do, like say she, I mean, I'm trying to think of a good example of something that she actually did in school. She was pretty good. But if she, say, for instance, she lost something of hers, like say she lost I think she lost a watch one time. And rather than running out and buying her a new one, I said, well, you lost your watch. If you want a new one, you're going to have to save your money and buy it.
Yeah.
You know, it was that kind of thing.
What did you do for punishment if there was ever any needed?
For punishment,
I used
timeout when she was little. When she was little, I used timeout. And the timeout wasn't just to sit her over there and humiliate her. It was to get her to think about what she'd done. And to think about how she could have done it differently, how she could have done something better in that situation, and often I did actually try to teach her the golden rule. So if she got in trouble in daycare for not using her words and rather using her teeth, which she did sometimes,
oh, biting teachers or something,
biting other kids. I asked her, you know, how would she feel if a child bit her? Wouldn't that hurt? And she agreed, yes, it would hurt. And I said, well, don't you think that it hurts the other child for you to bite them? And do you want to hurt them? And she's like, of course I don't want to hurt them. And I'm like, well, there you go.
There you go, people.
There you go.
Peaceful parenting without hitting that does not result in little monsters who try to burn down some neighborhood.
I'm not saying I was perfect or anything. I did lose my temper sometimes, but I didn't like hit her or anything like that.
So. You know, I honestly don't see the possibility for what happened in Keene happening in most towns in the Mountain West. I honestly believe citizens would come out with guns and say, get off this street. I'm not saying that's the right answer, and I'm definitely not saying that shooting somebody for throwing a bottle at some other guy that's throwing a bottle at him as a game is legitimate. But I think that standing on your front porch with a shotgun or a rifle is adequate when there are
a deterrent. You know,
when there are 1,000 people on your block acting crazy and especially throwing flammable things at houses. I don't see it happening here. I also don't see it happening here because I think that children are reared, I think they work more and they're not reared. There are exceptions, but I think that in general, they're not reared quite as wrongly as in a lot of East Coast areas and a lot of West Coast areas. Like the middle of the country, I think people are more, and especially the Mountain West, there's more of a work ethic. There's more of a pull your own weight ethic. It's kind of like it's in the soil, man. People mm-hmm. have it here. And there are exceptions, like I said, but you know, it's all about the numbers too. Like if 30 kids had been on a block doing that, you know, the homeowners could have said, get off my property or I'm calling the police, and they might have left or definitely gone out with a weapon and the kids would have left. But when there's 1,000 of them, they wouldn't even see if you have a weapon when it gets to that point, you know?
Like, yeah. And like you said, they were probably drinking.
Oh, they were drinking a lot. They're also wasting beer, which I've heard is a sin. They were throwing full bottles at each other.
What a waste.
Mm-hmm. I don't drink. I think drinking's stupid for me. I can't judge other people for it, but yeah, doesn't. Yeah. So,
did you just think about the taste of it?
Yeah. I thought about the taste to my, like, on a cellular level, like what it does to my body and soul. Yeah. I want to talk about, but if you want to do it, if you want to poison your body and soul, I have no problem with it. Just stay off my block, man.
Yeah. So did the riots mostly occur on that one street, or was it?
No, they were all over. They were all over in the college area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was that near where Ian and them live?
No, but this is kind of interesting. Derek said that at one point they were just trying to disperse people with a helicopter shining a light down and playing a recording over and over that said, this is an illegal demonstration. Leave the area or be arrested. And I'm thinking, like, a recording. That's kind of interesting. You know, is it like something they have left over from Kent State from the 70s? Like, where did they get this recording? Or is there a guy whose job is doing voiceover for threatening messages to be played from helicopters and police tanks? What a weird job, man. And like,
weird.
You know, is the guy doing it a police guy, a policeman, or is he, or is he just some voice actor that can sound really angry on command? So speaking of angry sounding voices, I want to talk about something that kept me sane when I was young and angry, which was listening to punk rock. It was totally cathartic. It probably kept me out of jail. It probably kept me from getting killed. And it turned my life around. And that is not something people generally think about punk rock, but it saved my life and it set me on a path to good. And it set me on a path of not trusting the government. And we're going to talk about a band called Dead Kennedys when we get back from this trip to the market. You checked out some Dead Kennedys, didn't you?
Sure did.
Yeah, and before you think, they're talking about punk rock. It's horrible. You're probably a conservative if you're listening to this. Doesn't the idea of Dead Kennedys sound good to you? We'll be back after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Too soon. Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. Fiends. This is Michael Dean. I'm talking with Diana Kyler, one of our regular rotating co-hosts, turning on a spit.
Meow.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about Dead Kennedys, man. And I swear we are the only talk radio show syndicated on talk radio that's not a music show that ever talks about punk rock. And we're going to do it.
We're cool like that.
Yeah, and we're probably talking to people who haven't heard a lot of punk rock. Punk rock has a bad rap. It sounds like, you know, people associate it with riots and mayhem. And here's why. A very, very small percentage of people into punk rock were jocks and people like the people in Keene that were throwing bottles. You know, they were males that were into whatever was loud and angry, and they didn't get the beauty of it, and they didn't get the politics of it, and they didn't get the rebelliousness of it, and the DIY, do-it-yourself ethic of it, and the be responsible for your own actions aspect of it. Those aspects were all very strong in a lot of punk rock and a lot of bands, because these bands, they didn't have record labels, or they didn't have backing, or even if they had record labels, their labels didn't have any money. And I should say we, because my band was in this scene. We weren't really punk rock. My band Bomb was a little bit different, but we were playing punk shows and playing the punk circuit and, you know, living out of our van and sleeping on people's floors and touring the country.
That sounds like so much fun to me.
Yeah, it's fun when you're young. It wouldn't be fun when you're older, but it changed my life, man. It gave me something to do and a reason to get up in the morning and something to kind of rally around and something to share. Like, you know how it was kind of like a fraternity. Like, you know, if you're a member of a certain religious group, or if you're a Freemason, or if you're a member of AA or a member of Rotary International, you can go to any town in America and probably any city in the world and find people instantly who are like you and instantly be accepted by them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not if you're a jerk, but, you know, be accepted by them.
Right.
And it was kind of like that. I mean, we would call up, you know, we'd have a show cancel while we're on tour. Hopefully we'd find out about it. There weren't cell phones or email back then. Like, we would have to call our, you know, girlfriend in San Francisco, where, like, you know, somebody was the number where people would call and leave messages. Sometimes we'd show up and the club had burned to the ground. There's no show. Sometimes we'd show up and the police had closed the club and there's no show. Sometimes we'd show and, you know, one time we showed in Columbus, Ohio, and the bar was locked. Like, literally, like, we have a gig tonight, and there's, like, the bar's closed and it's locked. You know, but sometimes we would have a cancellation, and we'd pull out this magazine called Maximum Rock and Roll and find out who was booking shows in the next town and, you know, smaller town over, and call them in the middle of the night and wake them up, and they'd be like, well, we have a show tomorrow night. You can come crash on my floor tonight. I'll put on some coffee. Here's the directions. I can't pay you any, you know, we'll give you 10% of the door to open on a show with five bands. It had four bands, and we're like, excellent, we're there.
Nice.
And, you know, it was that kind of, from people that we didn't even know, and they hadn't heard of my band. They were just like, yeah, you're on tour, you're a band, that's what we do. We help each other out, man. So that was the aspects of it I really liked. And the lyrics were very untrusting of authority, which meant being untrusting of the government, which in the early 80s meant being untrusting of Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
Now, the interesting thing is, okay, this band Dead Kennedys, they're called Dead Kennedys, but the guy who named the band, the singer, Jello Biafra, named after a you know, food you make that is made out of horses' hooves, and last name is a country that doesn't exist anymore, that where people were starving. You know, he named the band Dead Kennedys. He didn't hate the Kennedys. He actually liked JFK and liked the other one. And said the reason – the other one. Said the
Bobby.
Yeah, Bobby. And then the one that died later, Ted. But that was much after the band was demised in an official capacity. But he said he named it Dead Kennedys because he felt that when JFK and the other one died, that was the end of the American dream. It kind of was. It might not have been because of those events, but, you know, I was in my mama's belly when JFK was killed. I was born into the death of the American dream. We're going to talk about that in the second hour. Like, literally, man, like 64, it was over.
Yeah. Me, was, 65 for me, yeah, too.
The beginning of the end was upon us. And I blame the government. We'll be back. And, you know, Reagan was a funny guy, but he took guns away and he raised taxes. Don't forget that. And he used to be a Hollywood liberal before he took on the acting role of Republican president.
We'll Don't be y'all back. Forget that.
Don't y'all forget that at all. Worms.
Worms.
love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
You've heard of shinybadges.com, but check out the new Causes tab. Every item includes a donation to a worthwhile Liberty project. Buy the Silk Road pin to contribute to the Ross Ulbricht Legal Defense Fund, or buy the Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt to contribute to Hoodie the Homeless 2014. Pick from many more. Go to causes.shinybadges.com and get yourself some quality Liberty products that not only start a conversation, but also put your money where your heart is. Plus, get a free gift when you pay with Bitcoin. Causes.shinybadges.com.
Good evening, Sarasota. Yes, again, we are welcoming WSRQ, our latest affiliate, in Sarasota, Florida, playing us five nights a week, late at night, from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m., live, Monday through Friday. And I am really happy about that. That's really cool. And
me
also,
too. I was born in Florida.
Cool. And also, good morning, Sturgis. Good morning. Good morning, Sturgis. Good morning, Sundance. Good morning, Belle Fouche. Those are places in South Dakota and Wyoming that only play the second hour of the show and play it delayed. And, you know, we haven't said hello in a while to Cairo, Illinois, Paducah, Kentucky, and St. George, Utah. We welcomed last week. Those stations were all playing us live five nights a week. I'm psyched, man, because this show, The Freedom Fiends, has been on the air. Well, it was a podcast. It's the only syndicated radio show that started as a podcast almost 4 years ago. And it got on, we got on radio a year ago, May, and we got on, and that was just weekends. We're still on weekends. We're on 33 stations on the weekends. But we started doing 7 days a week this May. So it's only been a few months. And it took a while to even add our first station. And now we've got like eight at night. So I think we're going to be creeping up on, you know, all those weird, there aren't that many all night shows. There's like three of them that are syndicated. I think we're going to be doing this. I'm going to be doing this when I'm 90. I'm 50 now. I'm going to be doing this when I'm 90. And I will be incoherent by then. If you think I'm incoherent now, you just wait until we're on 400 stations and no one will take us off because of inertia. Because that's how it works in talk radio. If you don't cuss, once they put you on, you're on for life, man. Nothing can take
momentum.
You off.
Momentum.
Yep. So we want to talk about dead Kennedys.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, I think punk rock scares a lot of conservatives, but I think a lot of conservatives would be like, dead Kennedys, that sounds cool. too soon.
Right.
Yeah, the band Dead Kennedys was named that. The singer was actually a fan of JFK, but he said that when John F. Kennedy and the other one died in the 60s, that was the death of the American dream. And it may not have been what killed the American dream, but it was around the time the American dream died. Around the time it became really hard and tending towards impossible to really fulfill that thing of, if you work hard and follow your dreams and start your own business, you can succeed in America. Like, the politicians were the government was in the process of killing that to the point where it's extraordinarily hard these days. And a lot of patriotic Americans who have money are leaving America. What does that tell you about America?
Right.
Yeah.
And it tells them that they're doing something wrong, maybe?
That America's doing something wrong. Yeah, and you can't fix it. You can only scrap governments and start over. And I'm not talking about a revolution. I'm talking about like a Roman collapse, which I think we're headed toward. But I am dancing while I'm dancing and laughing while Western civilization collapses.
Yeah, I'm trying to laugh. I get a little depressed sometimes.
Do you want to talk about it or do you want to talk about punk rock?
Let's talk about punk rock. That'll make me feel better.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about this. There's this DVD of this band called Dead Kennedys. They had a bunch of records out, and they taught me to distrust the government, which is kind of it was great. You know, I learned more about the world from the band Dead Kennedys than I did from my father. And he's not a bad guy. He just was busy married to some woman who wasn't my mother. So I didn't see him that much.
Do you want to talk about that?
Nice call.
Or do you want to talk about punk rock?
I want to talk about punk rock. Not that I wouldn't talk about my dad, but that it would make me sad or anything, or I have too many feelings. It's more like I'd rather talk about punk rock. It's more fun. So
that's right.
There is this record. I mean, they were together from like, I'm guessing here, like 78 to, oh, I don't know, 89, 90, 91, 92, something like that. The singer got funny with the money at some point. Like originally they'd agreed to split things four ways and they'd signed this one page contract. They had their own record company and the singer was in charge of it and they'd signed a contract. There was a one page written handshake back in 1979 that basically said, yeah, everybody will get 50 cents on each record sold, which was a really bad thing to write because it didn't account for the fact that the price of records was going to rise over the years. Right. So, you know, 20 years later, like, you know, the splittable profit wasn't $2 on each record. It was like $10 on each record. And the singer was taking, you know, $8.50 on each record and paying the other three guys 50 cents each on each record. He was Dang. Honoring the letter of the agreement, but that's cheap. That's bad pool,
yeah.
man. So
yeah,
they took him to court and it was actually a 2-week jury trial in San Francisco. And I went to the trial like 4 days in a row and sat there and
wow.
It was like watching my parents. It was worse than watching my parents divorced because the band meant more to me than, you know, I don't want to sound cold about my parents, but my parents were in their 40s when they had me. And then they got divorced when I was 8. I don't even know my parents, barely, you know, barely. And then right. I got shipped off to boarding school. So I'm not being a cold, callous SOB. I'm just like, oh, those people? Yeah, I barely know them, man. So Dead Kennedys, yeah, they sued each other. And the other three who weren't the singer got voting control of everything and made it more equitable and cut a lot of deals that like the singer wouldn't have cut because I have integrity. I won't do that. You know, like maybe a little too much integrity sometime to the point where the rest of the band was starving and he owned a house and they were all like renting a single room somewhere and having trouble making payments.
That's sad.
Yeah. So, and he tried to like make the jury trial into a kangaroo court. Like he tried to give long speeches, like, about his it turned off the jury and you never want to turn off the jury, you know.
Right.
he lost the case for himself by like preaching and speaking down to the jury and down to the band. And it was like at that point the band were like working like as UPS drivers and this guy was living like a rock star, so it didn't look cool, you know.
No.
But this band, Dead Kennedy, one of the deals they cut was with MVD, music video distributors, who put out all five of the DVDs of the movies I've made. And they're a good company. And they actually put out this thing called the Lost Tapes of Dead Kennedys, which is, it's amazing this even exists because it was filmed in like 1983. And it's like really good looking standard definition video with okay audio. Filmed in the studio of them recording their record In God We Trust Incorporated.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
I watched it. It was very good.
And it's like, I mean, it's the thing's like 25 minutes long and it's them recording a 22 minute record with like 8 songs or 10 songs on it. They were really short songs. And like, they're making decisions on the spot. Like, well, should I speak this intro or should I sing it? Go ahead and speak it. Yeah. Okay. Well, should I say, move them out when they covered Rawhide? Should I say that before or during when you start playing the drums? Oh, during. Like they were like discussing and making decisions in the studio about how to do the songs. Yeah. And like, you know, not having a long, drawn out meeting with voting. Just, hey, what should I do? What do you think? Okay, yeah, okay, I'll do that. Nah, I'll do this. Like, really, like, that's what bands do when they're great, you know? And the thing that happened was the video of this was really cool, but the tape, you know, the 8-track, 1-inch tape they recorded the record on, actually was used tape that had been improperly stored, and like all the oxide started scraping off like the day after they were done recording it, and they tried to play it back and mix it. So they had to re-record this whole record. But so this is them recording the songs that are on In God We Trust Incorporated, but it's not the actual performances that ended up on that. But what happened was they were really dismayed when they found this out. They had a tour book. They went and did the tour and got even tighter and better on the tour, and then came back and recorded the record. And it's just, it's a blistering record. It's an amazing record. So you hadn't really been turned on to this particular music. Do you have much experience with this type of music?
I have a lot of experience listening to this type of music, but not to the degree that apparently you have there. I would actually go to the trial of their kind of breakup thing going on. I listened to it because I liked it. It sounded angry and I was angry. And so, you know, I would bang my head and all that kind of stuff because I had a lot of like pent up.
Bang your head, you know, doesn't mean hit your head against the wall. For those who don't know, it just means bob up and down.
Yeah, and I would scream and holler and dance around the room really hard, and I was the girl that would go into the mosh pits. I actually did that.
Wow.
Yeah, I never got hurt, thank goodness. But anyway, I didn't really pay that much attention to the lyrics. So, you know, when you sent me this video, I decided, well, I need to pull up the lyrics and see what these lyrics actually say. And they're pretty amazing. You know, they basically say everything that I kind of still think.
That's what I wanted to get out with all this, is how timeless this stuff is, even in ways of like that it goes cyclically. Like, they're complaining in the lyrics of some of these songs about like invading Afghanistan. Like, that's happening again, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of funny that the studio they're recording in this in is like the size of my bedroom. And there's like the band, 4 people with their equipment, and like a couple of friends of theirs watching them, and a recording engineer, literally in a room that's like, probably, you know, 16 by 16 feet or something. And you can tell it's the 80s, because not just because of the not high def video quality, but also because of the asbestos acoustic tiling, acoustic tiling they've soundproofed the walls with.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. But the thing that struck me was that it could have been recorded nowadays. I mean, in terms of how they looked and everything, the guy with the glasses, total hipster glasses.
Oh, they looked really nerdy for their time, because like most of the people in the bands that were playing the same places they were playing, you know, looked tough. They had like shaved heads and they were muscular and had cut off t-shirts and had like dog collars and had like bullet casing, you know, bullet shell belts on, and, you know, had like Doc Martin boots on. And these guys were wearing like, you know, collared shirts with Dickies pants and sneakers, and, you know, maybe they had holes in their pants, but it wasn't because they were looking cool. It was because they were incredibly poor at the time, you know, this is one of their first records. And, I want you to read some of the lyrics censored on the spot live for radio of one of their songs, which is called California Uberalis, which is basically calling Jerry Brown, the Democrat governor, then and now. He's the governor of California again. That's the mind-blowing thing about how this all is relevant again. We're not going to start it now because we're about to go to a break, but so they had this song, California Uberalis, which is, the title is a takeoff on Deutschland Uberalis, which was basically the national anthem under Hitler. So they're basically calling this Democrat a Nazi. And then they rewrote the song later for Reagan and called it We've Got a Bigger Problem Now. So they were equal opportunity going after tyrants.
Yeah, no doubt.
And, yep, worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
That is Miss Diana Kyler.
Hello.
We want to also welcome our people in Central Africa who are listening over the satellite network that we're on there, the KU band satellite. And yeah, man, it's apparently they get together and have listening parties. Like, you know, one person has the satellite dish and they get 20 people together and listen to the Freedom Fiends and LRN in general, Liberty Radio Network. We're on two networks. We're on Genesis Communications Network, which is our radio network. And we're on an internet network called Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM. And they also have a couple satellite channels that they rent that go over free-to-air satellites. So people in, you know, distant locations can hear us. Even they hear us live. It's kind of neat.
That is cool.
Yeah, man. Technology is a blast. And I actually want to do a whole show, maybe with you sometime, about just how cool technology is and how it's changed in our lifetimes, which I love doing that, but it's hard to not sound like a 1996 Newsweek article about the internet called the future is now. But, you know, I like to talk more about how it's like personally changed my life, because I've always had a thirst for knowledge and information. Like, I grew up skipping school to go to the library so I could actually learn.
Nerd.
So I love the internet as soon as I got it. And but I was a stoner nerd. That's kind of a weird mixture. And, you know, I don't have to do that anymore. But so we're talking about Dead Kennedys, the rock and roll band, the punk rock band that changed my life. And, you know, they're probably inveterate leftists, but at least their heart was in the right place. They didn't like the government and they didn't trust the government. And they didn't trust the government, like, you know, before everybody doing talk radio right now, when we were all like 14, these people were doing, you know, they were doing songs called Government Flu about, like, the government turning its weapons of, you know, biological weapons on the people. I mean, that's stuff you hear about on talk radio all the time. They were talking about, like, how wars only profit the rich and they're really not about defending the country. And so I want you to read these lyrics to California Uber Alles, which is named after Deutschland Uber Alles, which was the national anthem under Hitler. So they're basically calling this Democrat, Jerry Brown, who was the governor of California then and is again now, they were calling him a Nazi. So go ahead and read these lyrics, please.
I'm going to read it as if it were Jerry Brown actually talking. Okay. I'm going to try to do that. Okay. I am Governor Jerry Brown. My aura smiles and never frowns. Soon I will be president.
He tried.
Carter power will go away, will soon go away. I will be Führer one day. I will command all of you. Your kids will meditate in school. Your kids will meditate in school. Wow. And then the chorus is California Uber Alles, California Uber Alles, Uber Alles, California. And goes on to say, Zen fascists will control you 100% natural. You will jog for the master race and always wear the happy face.
I would be really terrified if anybody tuned in like right before you started reading that. They're like, what is this horrible white power being read in this sexy woman's voice? Like, man, this is scary.
But I'm not trying to sound sexy. I can't help it.
You sound sexy anyway, but we're, you know, it's not a white power thing. We're not white power people. I think all races contain an equal amount of idiots and good people. But it just sounded really weird there for a minute. But do you want to read some more of California Uber Alles by Dead Kennedys from the late 70s, early 80s?
Yeah. Close your eyes. Can't happen here. Big bro on white horse is near. The hippies won't come back, you say. Mellow out or you will pay.
I know. It's like sounds like Mother Teresa crossed with Stalin. is what he's describing.
Now it is 1984. Knock, knock at your front door. It's a suede denim secret police. They have come for your uncool niece. Come quietly to the camp. You'll look nice as a drawstring lamp. Don't you worry. It's only a shower for your clothes. Here's a pretty flower.
Man.
Yeah.
Where does it go from there?
Die on organic poison gas. Ugh. Serpent's egg already hatched. You will croak, you little clown, when you mess with President Brown.
You know, there's actually awesome. Jerry Brown has a copy of this record.
Yeah.
There's a story that's been corroborated. Jerry Brown, Jello Biafra, the singer of this band, they both lived in San Francisco. Brown, he's governor of Oakland, mayor of Oakland at one time, but he was having like, Jello was walking through North Beach in San Francisco early evening one night, and he saw Jerry Brown sitting with Linda Ronstadt having dinner in some fancy restaurant, like by the window with all his guards and stuff. And Jello, like, he was across the street from a record store that Jello knew carried his records. Jello ran across the street, bought a copy of his own record, and ran back and like signed it to Jerry Brown. Love Jello Biafra. Ran across the street and like went in and said, "Hey, this is a song about you. I want you to have it." And Jerry Brown's like, "Oh, thanks."
That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't think Reagan has ever heard the other version of this song about him, but we'll talk about that when we get back. Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Shiny badges on your jacket, shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Freedom Fiends. And that was a snappy little number by one of my punk rock bands, Right Arm of Wyoming. That song is called "Would You Tar and Feather a Tax Collector?" So if you're sitting here going, they're talking about punk rock sounds horrible to me. You know, not all of it's horrible. And if you don't know what punk rock sounds like, most of the music you hear on this show is punk rock by myself, solo or bands I've been in. So we're going to read a little bit more of Dead Kennedys lyrics, and then we're going to move on to talking about horrible people and how not to be one. So why don't you read the radio censored version of the lyrics? Now, see, the song California Uber Alles was about Jerry Brown. Dead Kennedys later on a different record, and you can see them creating this if you want, if you search Dead Kennedys, The Lost Tapes on YouTube, or I will link it in the show notes also. They redid the same music with different lyrics and made it about Ronald Reagan and called it "We've Got a Bigger Problem Now." And remember, if you think Ronald Reagan was a great guy, you got to remember this. He was a Hollywood Democrat before John Wayne talked him into being the puppet at the front of the Republican Party. He didn't write most of the cool stuff he said. He didn't abide by the small government, anti-government, anarchist stuff he said. Like, you know, he talked like an anarchist. He said stuff like, "The biggest problem, the scariest sentence in the English language is, we're from the government and we're here to help you." You know, that sounds like anarchist talk. And Republicans like to talk anarchist, but they don't like to be it. He also added gun laws, raised taxes, basically created the Taliban by arming the Mujahideen in the Middle East, and did a whole bunch of other horrible stuff. You know, he may have been good on economics, but he wasn't even good on economics. He basically gave huge breaks to the rich and messed over the middle class and the poor people.
He grew government just like every other person.
So if you're complaining about large government, It didn't start with Obama. Let's put it that way. So
yeah.
Read the lyrics to "We've Got a Bigger Problem Now" by Dead Kennedys.
Okay.
You're so fun reading these. I like them.
Well, I don't know how to sound like Ronald Reagan, though. last call for alcohol. Last call for your freedom of speech.
Now think about this. This song's written in 1981 or something, and they're saying last call for freedom of speech. I mean, that's what we're talking about now on the radio. This is Freedom Feeds really is the last call for free speech, because President Hillary is going to kick us off the air. You just wait and see. Mark my words.
Yep. And then it goes on. Drink up. Happy hour is now enforced by law. Don't forget our house special is called a tricky dicky screwdriver. It's got one part Jack Daniels, two parts purple Kool-Aid, and a jigger of formaldehyde from the jar with Hitler's brain in it. We've got in the back storeroom. Happy trails to you. Happy trails to you. I am Emperor Ronald Reagan, born again with fascist cravings. Still, you made me president. Human rights will soon go away. I'm now your Shah today. Now I can command all of you. Now you're going to pray in school. I'll make sure they're religious too. California, uber alles, uber alles, California. Ku Klux Klan will control you. Still you think it's natural. Brother knocking for the master race. Still you wear the happy face. You closed your eyes. Can't happen here. A lot of people are still doing that. Yep, that's for sure. Yep. Alexander Haig is near. Vietnam won't come back, you say. Join the army or you will pay. California uber alles. Yeah, that's it. Just relax. Have another drink. A few more pretzels. A little more MSG. Turn on those Dallas Cowboys on your TV. Lock your doors. Close your mind. It's time for the 2-minute warning. Welcome to 1984. Are you ready for the Third World War? You too will meet the secret police. They'll draft you and they'll jail your niece. You'll go quietly to boot camp. They'll shoot you dead, make you a man. Don't you worry, it's for a cause. Feeding global corporations claws. Yeah, on our brand.
Think about that. Like, this was kind of like the lyrics of this stuff back in the 80s was kind of like, you know, not conservative talk radio, but like Alex Jones and the Freedom Fiends and Free Talk Live talk about all these same topics now. And mm-hmm. none of us were on the radio back then, you know?
It's very, very timely.
Yeah.
Then die on our brand new poison gas, El Salvador or Afghanistan.
And the U.S. is back in Afghanistan.
That's right. Making money for President Reagan and all the friends of President Reagan.
Yep.
California uber alles. California uber alles.
All right. That's it. That's the end of our music lesson. This is the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza, and it is a general interest talk show where we talk about whatever we feel like talking about, but always related to liberty. And I guess the liberty lesson and all that is punk rock saved my life. It kept me from doing stupid things. It gave me focus back in the 80s, and it taught me more about what's really going on than anything out there. There really wasn't like alternative media back then. So it was it for me, you know?
Yeah. I like how they referenced 1984 in both of those songs.
And it was also right literally before the year 1984. So it was it seemed very prescient, not only because of the reference to the book 1984, but because mm-hmm. of the year it was.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And all the, you know, references about closing your mind, turning on your TV, you know, just kind of, you know, numb yourself, blind yourself, you know, so you don't see what we're doing.
Yep. They're still doing that. They're doing it better than they ever have.
Yeah. And we are in the Third World War. Absolutely. I mean, that's been going on for quite a while now.
Yeah. It's been going on pretty much since the end of the Cold War. I mean, you know, and they say Reagan ended, you know, brought down the wall. He didn't bring down the wall. It was coming down already. And what brought it in was like the black market, the free market seeping into the communist countries. You know, Bruce Springsteen and Blue Jeans did more to bring down that wall than Reagan.
That's right. And we'll continue to do so. I mean, who was I hearing talk about this the other day, talking about Sharia law that, you know, that they're still, you know, streaming in, you know, movies and
it was on Free Talk Live. They were talking about the people who make a living bringing in like little thumb drives of pirated Western movies.
Yeah. I think I heard somebody say something about porn too, that porn will keep Sharia law from happening.
Yeah. Porn drives every, you know, if you don't like porn, it drives every emerging technology. It drove VHS. It drove Super 8 movies. It drives the internet. You know, it basically allows the funding for it to happen. So, if you're against it, you're against the free market. Here's what I think. I think if somebody believes religiously that something is wrong, you know, whether it's a Christian belief or a Middle Eastern belief, Muslim belief, whatever it is, if you believe something's wrong, other than something with an actual victim, like murder, theft, fraud, aggression, rape, stealing, all that stuff, taxation, you know, things that don't really have a victim, like social things like that. I think even if you absolutely believe they're a sin, you should not try to outlaw them because you're playing
vices are not crimes.
You're playing God then, and you're not allowing people to be pure by passing the test on their own.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's no free will involved in that. And and if you're coerced to obey this stupid law that tells you not to do things that are quote unquote bad for you, I mean, how are you free to make that choice yourself?
Yeah.
What good does it do?
Yeah. You can't force someone to be good. So moving on to bad people or dumb people.
Dumb people.
Yeah. So I want to admit something really stupid I did in my life. And it was in a lull of getting enough attention. And I don't really care about attention anymore. I care about putting out good product and knowing that people listen to it. But I don't even need to hear back from them. Just knowing it's out there makes me happy. So I was in this band, Bomb, back in the day. It broke up because I had a drug habit. I got off the drugs, but the band broke up before I got off the drugs. And I never really, you know, I've made a lot of music since then, but I've never really done anything that had the magic or like had the spark to get the kind of audience that band had. So before I discovered computers or really got into computers and really started like making other media other than punk rock music, you know, now I make documentaries and write books and do talk radio. Before I had something to do, and having something to do that's good is more important to me than having adulation for it. Really, like the product itself is the end game. And there was a lull in there while I got, you know, after I got sober, when I was kind of reinventing myself. Like I got sober in 94 and I started making documentaries and writing books around 1999, 2000. So in that 6-year period, I was kind of like recharging, relearning to live life on life's terms and didn't really have like any attention, you know, and I burned all my bridges. All my friends had run away from me because they thought I was going to borrow money from them or something or scream at them or whatever. So, so during that time, I had nothing going on and I became friends with the road manager for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And he got me into some shows, like stadium shows, got me the best seats in the house. Like literally the best seat I've ever had was at the Cow Palace in San Francisco, Chili Peppers playing a great show in front of, you know, 15,000 people.
I am so jealous right now.
Oh, wait. I was sitting on the stage leaning up against Flea's bass amp.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And a couple months after that, my friend, who was their manager at the time, said, you know, they filmed that show and there's a video coming out and you're in it. And I never saw the video. Like I didn't have MTV at the time. I didn't have any money for MTV at the time. I didn't have money for cable. I never saw the video. And, you know, I said, how much am I in it? And he's like, oh, you're in it for a couple seconds, just rocking out, bobbing your head. And, I actually like added that to my resume, like resumes I was sending out to people. I said like, you know, and I, you know, helped work on this friend's movie. And then I'm in the video coffee shop for the band Red Hot Chili Peppers. I wasn't in it. I was in it by default. You know, I just happened to be there. It's not like, it's not like I played the, you know, the guy in the dreams, the dragon in the dream sequence or anything. It was just a concert film. And I was over on the edge of the stage in the shadows. And now I would never say, you know, I did that. And when I talk about my old band, I'm not really bragging about my old band. Like our band, we were on Warner Brothers. We put out a record on Warner Brothers. We put out 3 independent records. We toured dives in America and Europe. You know, the most we ever attracted anywhere was like 500 people at a free show in San Francisco. Generally, we played paid shows to like where we headlined, like to 100 or 150 people. Sometimes we played to 10 people. You know, we weren't famous, but we had a really hardcore cult following. And people dug it. And when I bring it up, it's basically just for like teaching hospital stuff. Like, yeah, this applies to that. So, but I was in this lull of like attention and really needed attention. And since then I've learned to really not need attention. And I actually kind of shy away from it. Like we don't take calls. I don't want to talk to people. I don't care what people think, but, the kind of I understand that kind of mentality where someone would like take something that was nothing and try to like tell somebody I did something, and that's sad. And in the last Redemption and Third Act, we're going to talk about not doing that and how to not do that.
Right.
Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Keep on factory. Woof, woof. Dog bite on my leg. Dog bite. Not supposed to beg. Dog bite on my leg. Dog bite. Supposed to beg.
Okay, it's Freedom Fiends. It's the Redemption in the Third Act. I was just getting some short Dead Kennedy songs in there. They were short. Punk rock had short songs, man. I like that. You know, Jelly Biafra said, like, why have a guitar solo when you could have another line of lyrics? I like that.
Yeah, so, me too. What did solos are like long and boring.
Most of them are long and boring. Some of them are good. Yeah. So what did you say during the break to me about the last time you and your daughter went to a concert?
Oh, that she and I went, well, I took, she and I are both huge Red Hot Chili Peppers fans. And last Chili Peppers concert I took her to, that people were all our ages. Like they were either her age or my age.
Yeah.
But I mean, they were all ages there. And, you know, I was like, you know, I thought that was pretty cool that there's doesn't seem to be any longer a generation gap necessarily in rock music.
I think that I think that means rock and roll is dead, man. And I think the real punk stuff out there is talk radio, man. I mean, you know, I could be in a punk rock band. I could be in a band. Why aren't I in a band? Because I'd rather do talk radio, man. It's more real. So in the Redemption Third Act, we want to talk a little bit about the don't be an idiot. Like basically, Davy Barker and I did a show recently where we talked about the eighth deadly sin, which was the hamster in your brain, which is basically just rolling over the same thing and being obsessed with it over and over. And here's something I've seen is that a lot of times people that were into something a lot longer than you, you know, like there's libertarians I've encountered who've like been libertarians for 30 years. I've only been a libertarian for 8 or 9 years. And there's ones who've been a libertarian for 30 years and they're like, they kind of, sometimes they go kind of nuts. Like, you know, they're not known. They're writing a lot of stuff for a lot of magazines, but they end up burning bridges because they're too squitney for people to deal with them and they get fired. And, you know, they go try to come after the new young bloods like us and say like, oh, well, you should read this on your show. And like, if you don't read it right, then they just become your enemy. I've seen this a lot. There's actually a guy named Jim Davidson. If you search on Facebook, verbally abused by Jim Davidson, it's a webpage with 60 followers on it. And these are people who have been verbally abused by this guy who was like important in the 70s, like helped start the Libertarian Party and then was one of the first ones to go on full on ANCAP. And like something happened. The guy's brain broke at some point from stewing in his libertarian juices too much, to where he goes to like Liberty festivals. And instead of having fun and talking to people, he goes up to women and like calls them dirty whores for no reason. And people hate that. And he does the same thing on the internet. And, and there's a guy who's like coming after me because he sent me an email and I didn't read it on the air and I read it wrong in his mind. It was somebody who like heard an episode from 3 years ago and thought it was current and like tried to correct me on something I said wrong that I've corrected myself on constantly since then. And he thinks that like Nima is still a co-host on this show. And the guy is going to end up like Jim Davidson, like friendless, penniless, and calling women whores in public if he doesn't look at what he's doing. And what he's doing is living a life like I was living when I was putting on my resume that I'd been in a Red Hot Chili Peppers video when I was really just sitting on the stage. So don't stew in your own libertarian juices so much that you just drive everyone away from you and act like they owe you something, because the world doesn't owe you anything. And that is libertarianism 101. And
absolutely,
people are free to, you know, have any like free to interface with people they want to, and free to just drop people off their ladder if they're coming up behind them and messing with them and demanding things of them. It's all about free association.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, the market really proves who not who's the best person, but who's the decent person that people want to hang out with. And if you're somebody, if you're listening and you're somebody who has had an inordinate number of people block you or throw you out of their life or fire you, you know, you got to look at yourself. The thing I've heard is when you're pointing a finger at somebody, you have four fingers, three or four fingers pointing back at you.
And Stuart Smalley said that.
Yeah, but it's he'd heard it somewhere else. It's an old AA thing. And the other thing is, like, you know, if the number of people who have fired you or blocked you from your life outweigh the number of people you've blocked from your life, it might be something about you.
It might be you. Yeah.
So don't be a Richard. Look at yourself. Don't try to trump things that don't matter. If people don't want to hear them, they don't want to hear them. And if you're good, the world will react to it in a way that they'll want to share it with other people.
Right. You don't have to force yourself.
Yeah, man.
Let it be organic and go listen to some punk music.
Yeah. Go listen to Dead Kennedys, The Lost Tapes on YouTube. Even if you hate punk rock, it's a wonderful document of a moment of a sliver in time.
And you might find yourself dancing. And that's always a good thing.
Yep. Thanks, Diana, for being on the show. It's been a great night. This has been the best nighttime show I've had since we started doing them in May. Thank you.
It's been really fun, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. I like it, man. It's good.
Yep, me too.
Beautiful.